Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Dawn's Early Light: Taking Back Washington to Save America, is a 2024 political book by Kevin Roberts, president of the Heritage Foundation, with a foreword by J.D. Vance. Positioned as a manifesto for a new conservative movement, it argues that American institutions have been captured by a ruling class Roberts describes as a uniparty or elite establishment. The book presents itself as a roadmap for a peaceful second American revolution, meaning a political and institutional overhaul carried out through elections, organizing, and governance, rather than literal violence. Its central purpose is to persuade readers that conservatives should not simply resist current institutions, but build some, retake others, and abandon those judged too corrupt to salvage. Because it combines political critique, movement building, and institutional strategy, the book sits between polemic and policy blueprint. Its claims are strongly ideological and have drawn both enthusiastic praise from supporters and sharp criticism from opponents, making it a notable artifact of contemporary American conservative politics. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a conservative blueprint built around institutional triage. The book is organized around a practical framework that divides institutions into three categories: those conservatives should build, those they should take back, and those they should eliminate because they are beyond repair. This structure is important because it moves the argument beyond general complaint and turns it into a strategic program. Instead of treating all public institutions as equally compromised, Roberts distinguishes between systems that can be reformed, systems that can be repurposed, and systems that must be replaced. That triage logic gives the book its policy-like feel. Even though its conclusions are highly combative, it also signals that the author wants readers to think in terms of power, infrastructure, and long-term movement building, rather than short-term electoral frustration. In that sense, the book is less about one election cycle than about redesigning the conservative project itself. The framework is memorable because it offers a simplified but actionable map for activists who want a theory of where to invest energy and where to break decisively with the existing order. Secondly, the uniparty thesis and the politics of elite capture. A central claim of the book is that America is governed by a single dominant establishment, often described as the uniparty, rather than by two genuinely opposing parties. This idea reframes common partisan conflict as a deeper struggle between ordinary citizens and a consolidated elite class. The appeal of the thesis is that it explains why voters often feel disconnected from institutions that appear to be ideologically different but functionally similar on key issues. Roberts uses this lens to argue that Washington, the media, academia, and major foundations all reinforce one another. The significance of this argument is not just rhetorical. It is meant to justify a more radical response than conventional reform politics. If the system is structurally captured, then compromise becomes less attractive than confrontation and replacement. The book therefore relies on a populist moral geography in which elites are portrayed as self-protecting and detached, while the public is cast as politically dispossessed. Whether readers accept the thesis or not, it is the conceptual engine that drives the rest of the book's recommendations. Thirdly, targeting elite institutions as the source of cultural and political decline. Roberts repeatedly identifies a set of institutions that he believes shape public life in harmful ways, including Ivy League colleges, the FBI, the New York Times, the Department of Education, BlackRock, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and the National Endowment for Democracy. The list matters because it reveals the book's broad definition of political power. The problem is not limited to government offices. It extends to universities, media outlets, philanthropy, finance, public health, and civil society organizations. In Roberts's account, these institutions are not neutral experts, but engines of ideological training and elite coordination. He argues that they influence borders, education, public trust, and the beliefs of the next generation. This is where the book's cultural analysis becomes more concrete. It treats institutions as the places where political values are formed and where future power is reproduced. The result is a sweeping indictment of modern governance and a call for conservatives to contest authority in arenas that are often viewed as nonpartisan or technocratic. That scope helps distinguish the book from narrower campaign literature. Fourthly, reclaiming American sovereignty through border, education, and elections. Although the book is framed as a broad political manifesto, it also aligns with specific policy priorities associated with Roberts's work at the Heritage Foundation, especially education, border security, big tech, and election integrity. These issues are not random talking points. They are presented as examples of how sovereignty is weakened when institutions drift away from the interests of ordinary Americans. The book suggests that borders must be defended, schools must stop transmitting hostile ideology, and elections must be protected from manipulation or distrust. Taken together, these themes translate the book's abstract critique into concrete governance concerns. Roberts's argument is that a nation cannot recover legitimacy if it loses control over who enters, what children are taught, how information circulates, and whether citizens trust the vote. The practical implication is that political renewal requires both policy change and institutional trust building. Readers, looking for a high-level framework for conservative governance, will find that the book connects cultural grievances to policy levers, even though it does so from a strongly partisan standpoint. Lastly, a movement book shaped by praise, controversy, and ideological certainty, Dawn's Early Light stands out not only because of its argument, but also because of the reaction it has generated. Supporters, including prominent conservative figures, have praised it as a roadmap for restoring America, while critics have described it as authoritarian, conspiratorial, or dangerously absolutist. That polarization is part of the book's identity. It is written less as a neutral diagnosis than as a declaration that the present order is illegitimate and must be replaced. The tone of moral certainty gives the book momentum, but it also narrows its room for ambiguity or compromise. This makes it especially useful for understanding the mindset of contemporary movement conservatism, where institutional distrust, cultural grievance, and strategic rebuilding converge. For readers, the book offers insight into how political entrepreneurs frame crisis in order to mobilize a base and legitimize aggressive reforms. Even readers who disagree with its conclusions can learn how a modern ideological movement constructs a coherent narrative of decline, enemy identification, and renewal. That combination of manifesto, strategy, and political signal is what makes the book notable in its category. In conclusion, Dawn's Early Light: Taking Back Washington to Save America is best suited for readers who want to understand the intellectual and strategic self-image of today's populist conservative movement. It will be most useful to students of American politics, policy professionals, journalists, and politically engaged readers who want to see how a major conservative institution frames institutional decline, elite capture, and political renewal. The book's practical value lies in its clear organizing logic. It identifies which institutions conservatives want to build, reclaim, or destroy, and it ties those categories to a broader theory of power. Its intellectual value comes from revealing how a movement translates cultural frustration into a program for governance. Compared with many books in the same genre, it is more explicit about institutional warfare and movement construction, and less interested in incremental persuasion. That makes it especially revealing as a political document. Even readers who reject its premises can use it to better understand the arguments, fears, and ambitions shaping modern American conservatism. In that sense, its main distinction is not literary style, but strategic clarity. It shows how one wing of the right imagines rebuilding the country by first redefining the institutions that govern it. If you would like to support Kevin Roberts, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.